May God give to all of you people much grace and peace in the knowledge of Him and of His Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. We're going to hear a little portion of the Old Testament lesson for this first Sunday in Advent. It's from Isaiah chapter 2, the verses 2 and 3. Here's what Isaiah writes. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways so that we may walk in His paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now let's bow our heads to pray. Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please take your seats. My dear and treasured brothers and sisters, today has been set aside to mark the 60th anniversary of this congregation, and I'll have a little bit to say about that later. But first of all, a very dear friend of yours by the name of Isaiah is taking you by the hand, and he's leading you back much farther than 60 years. His words that I just read were written 2,700 years ago, which means they went to paper 700 years before Jesus was ever born. Your friend Isaiah is drawing you a picture, and he's making a promise. It's a beautiful picture, and you can even see it better than Isaiah himself saw it. That's because you don't have to wait anymore, as Isaiah and many others had to do. But the promise in this picture has come true already now and right here. It's the right picture for the first Sunday in Advent also. And this picture has wonderful things to say for your church's 60th anniversary. So this is why we're asking God's Holy Spirit to open up ears and hearts so that we can take it in. It's an Advent promise that has come true in Richmond. Now let's go back and look at Isaiah's picture again. It says, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. God's people gave names to that old mountain and also to the city where that mountain stood. Zion and Jerusalem, that's what they called that place. And this wasn't just any old hill. This is where the Lord's temple was. This is the place where His message was sounded and where God's word went out into the world. I'll tell you, sometimes this mountain didn't really seem all that high. That's because other faiths had their big mountains too, you know. I guess you know the Greeks had Mount Olympus, a real tall, snow-capped mountain where they said their gods had their home. And the Romans had a place called Capitoline Hill, which was a real impressive spot too. And the Aztec tribes in Central America had mountains where they would go up high and meet their gods and make sacrifices to them. And if you actually got out a measuring stick, I would imagine that some of their mountains seemed higher than Zion and Jerusalem. But not only that. Sometimes Zion and Jerusalem did not look like much of a hill because God's people were made to be very low. Sometimes the Lord had to bring them down because they weren't true to Him. He let pagan people hit them really hard more than once. There's a place, for example, in the Bible where the prophet Ezekiel wrote about a time like that. Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We're cut off, he said. Today we're looking at this picture from Isaiah. Things were pretty sad when this guy wrote these words. But God promised that a glad day would come when this mountain would be stronger and higher than any other. God did not really mean that His mountain would start to grow so that it measured higher than all the other hills and mountains in the world. And He didn't really mean that the rocks in this mountain would get harder so that it was tougher than other mountains when you touched it, let's say, with your hand. No, the Lord is telling you that His mountain would be firmer and higher than other mountains in a very special way. He meant that God would give something here that people would not be able to find in any other place. He would give promises here that were stronger than any of the world's promises. And He would bring rescue that could help you with your deepest troubles now and forever. I'm here to tell you that Isaiah's promise started coming true when Jesus was born into our world. Jesus did absolutely wondrous things on this little mountain of Zion and in the city of Jerusalem. Jesus Christ taught people God's truth. He told people flat out that they needed to repent because they had to be saved. And then he told them the welcome news that they could take heart because he himself had come to be their Savior. Come to me, he said, all of you who are working hard and carrying a heavy load, I will give you rest. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people, the Bible says. He did everything that Isaiah promised in this old word of his from 700 years before. He taught people the Lord's way so that they could walk in his path. His message rang out from Zion and Jerusalem. And then after he taught all these precious things, Jesus, just a few steps outside the city wall of Jerusalem, died for the sins of the world. He carried in his own body the burden that you created with your sins and wrongdoings. He carried in his body the burden for all the ways that you stepped on God's holy will and many times hurt other people along the way. Before he died, Jesus Christ described the effect that his death would have on people. When I'm lifted up from the earth, he said, that's when I'll draw all people to myself. In other words, when I'm lifted up high on that cross of mine, that's the power that God will use to begin to draw people to me. And dear friends, this has come literally true. Stop and think about it for a minute. What really makes you love Jesus Christ? Is it just the fact that he's humble and lowly and lived a very exemplary life the way we wish we could? Is it just the fact that Jesus was very wise and he knew the Bible perfectly and he knew how to out-argue all his critics who tried to bring him down and out-argue him? No, what really draws you to him is this. It's the fact that Jesus died for you, that he loves you, that he saves you. It's the fact that Jesus, by his death, can forgive a whole lifetime of sin and wrong, that he brings you back to God again and opens in front of you the door to everlasting life. This is the thing about Jesus that has such an incredible drawing power. And this is why the good news of Jesus is like a strong mountain that towers up over every other lord and every other philosophy. Just like rivers, the good news of Jesus has made many, many different people stream to him. It wasn't only Jewish people who came to him this way. Back in the ancient world, Greeks and Romans started doing it. And later on, peoples from all over Europe and Asia and Africa and North and South America were drawn to Jesus too. People began to understand, for example, that you cannot really earn God's love. And when they began to realize that Jesus lived and died so that he could give you this needed love for free, when people from many nations started to grasp the fact that Jesus Christ can liberate anybody, then those believers started to set aside some of the old hostilities that used to keep them apart. Then their different languages were not such a barrier anymore. Then the fact that some of them had a different skin color or came from a different country didn't stop them from joining their hands and hearts. And they began to say to each other, hey, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord. In other words, let's rush as quickly as we can to Jesus Christ. He's the strong high mountain that towers over all the other ones. He's the one who can teach us God's wise ways. And he's the one who can actually help us want to walk in the Lord's straight paths. I said just a minute ago that Isaiah's promise started coming true when Jesus came into our world. This promise has also come true in a big way right here in good old Richmond, British Columbia. We call this the first Sunday in Advent. This is actually the first Sunday of a whole new church year on the church's calendar. Beginning today, we're going to spend the next four Sundays getting ready for Christmas. We're going to be listening to promises like this one in front of us from Isaiah about Jesus' coming into our world. And I guess you'll note already that we hang the church today in blue. Ancient people used that color sometimes to express hope, you know. It was almost like watching the sky in the early, early hours of the morning. Just before the sun comes up with its light and warmth, the black night sky starts to glow blue. It was a sign of hope for a new day. And that's what we're doing with the blue on the altar and with these blue stoles hung round the pastor's neck. We're remembering that God gives hope. Because in these Advent days, the Bible is pointing us to the time when Jesus, like a rising sun, was about to bring a glad new day. This is also a glad day for you people of God at Trinity Lutheran Church. It may even be a gladder day than you fully realize. Brothers and sisters, we did not come here this afternoon just to celebrate the anniversary of an institution or a club or an organization. I'm sure that many fine things and many wonderful people have been part of your church family here over the years, and I want to thank God publicly for them all today. But more than anything, the story of your congregation is this. It's celebrating how Isaiah's promise came true and how it keeps coming true in Jesus Christ, crucified and raised from the dead. Through the good news of Christ, God has set up a high mountain right here in Richmond, and He has drawn you to come to Christ with the faith of your heart. Through the good news of Christ, the Lord has given people a hunger and a thirst to want to know Christ better. He has made them want to find out His ways and want to sincerely walk in His paths. In other words, He's instilled in them the desire to live in a way that makes God glad. Through the good news of Christ, the Lord has broken barriers down. First of all, He broke through the wall of hostility and pride that you and I sometimes put up in our own hearts against the Lord. He has moved us to kick those roadblocks right out of the way and to come to Him. And I think your congregation may understand better than some others how God can overcome the walls that used to separate languages and nations. You know, a long time ago, a lot of our Lutheran people came from families of German and Scandinavian background. Who would ever have dreamed that God, in a single congregation, would bring together people who had their roots in that part of the world, and also people from the great nation and language of China, and teach them to respect and to love each other? You know, a lot of times, politicians and diplomats, they don't know how to accomplish things like that. But Jesus Christ knows how to do it very well. And He's busy doing it in your wonderful church family at Trinity in Richmond. I told you that Isaiah drew his picture and made his promise a long time ago, 700 years before Jesus was ever born. It was a hard time for the Lord's people when Isaiah wrote. And in some ways, this year of 2013 is not an easy one for Christians either. An awful lot of people in our Canada have turned their backs on Christ, and a great many people around us aren't interested in listening to Him at all. But Isaiah did not despair when he had his own hard day. He had hope because he knew that God has His way of making promises come true. You see that with Jesus' coming into our world. You can see it in your own personal life because God has given you the faith to trust in Christ. And you can also see it in the life of your wonderful church family right here. When you draw your life from Christ, it makes all the difference in the world. Difficult things might not be immediately solved, but they become bearable. Dark-looking things start to brighten up. And you realize that you have everything you really need because you have God's Son, your Savior, Jesus. This means, dear friend, that you are standing on the mountain that Isaiah could only write about. Now that is something to celebrate, whether times are easy or hard, whether you grew up speaking Chinese or English or something else, whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're young or old, whether you're strong with your hands or you have a really sharp mind. Christ is Isaiah's promise come true in Richmond right now. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Amen.